Worst Case Scenario.
Die Bestatterinnen.
Hello.
Hello. Did you hear the crow outside? That was kind of the starting signal for me. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of your favorite funeral podcast, Worst Case Scenario.
Yeah, I was okay. I wanted to tell. I want to say that too. Worst Case Scenario. I never say that.
You say it so much better than I do. You should do it from now on.
I always say die Bestatterinnen. Hello.
Today is our 10th episode. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, feel like yesterday was the first one. And yes, the 10th and this, the last one for the season, yes?
Yes, yes, we decided to call it a season and wrap it up after 10 episodes and go on a summer break.
Yeah. I mean, summer break for us is not really
I mean, we're not going to be on break, obviously, but yeah, there's not going to be any new episodes until August after now, but all episodes are of course on Spotify, so if you really miss us, and keep your ears and eyes peeled because there might be special one-off life things happening. But yeah, with these, let's look back a little bit. I mean, we've talked about so many things already in these first 10 episodes, and I feel like we've
Did you have a favorite episode? Also, do you have one that is your favorite? Of all we talk about?
Actually, I think maybe the last one we did about
me
crying.
Me too. I don't know why, but the last one was also for me very, very, I don't know. It was nice to talk about tears.
Yeah, and I think that's what I wanted to say, is that I think that we've come a long way from where we started with this to where we have a more natural flow of conversation, you know, and I think the feedback, thank you everybody, by the way, all the listeners,
amazing,
for all the feedback we've been getting, and I think the constructive feedback that we got also helped us getting better and loosening up a bit.
I mean, I think a lot about things now that I know we are doing the podcast. It's more like I don't know, it helped me to think about situation that we encounter in our everyday life with death and grief and so on. And talking about tears last time make me watching myself and the tears that they were shed in the last funeral we were. And let's talk shortly about that. We had a very big funeral. Young person, we say young, everyone that dies under 70. So the person was 53, like my age. So I'm young. We talk about a small ceremony, blah, blah. But at the end, the ceremony became so huge and so many people came. How many people were there? 150?
Something between 130 and 150, I would say.
And so it was a big ceremony and a lot of men were crying.
Yeah. I was thinking about our last podcast too when I saw that. I
because
like,
we talk about, and we talk about like, that men are the problem of crying, being like showing tears for men is very difficult. And we talk about that and we talk about all the situation that we had, like about men that they move strangely, they look in the air because they try to avoid the tears. And this one was like maybe they were listening our podcast. I don't know, but I don't think so. And it was like also the wife, not the widow, say she never saw so many men crying in one spot.
Yeah. She actually asked us if that was normal. And when she asked that, I had to think about the last podcast that we recorded and you saying like, if the men cry, I have done a good job.
Exactly. And it's not like being mean about that, but me, being able to create a space to suffer and grieve in a natural way with no, I don't know, no shame and no, I don't know, no no where, things from the outside.
Yeah, that where emotions can just flow.
Yeah, so and that, yeah, that's why we want to talk about what does it mean, a beautiful funeral.
Yeah, yeah, that's why we decided, yeah, to talk about.
Yeah, our topic today is what is a beautiful funeral and can you say a funeral can be beautiful?
Yeah, and can beauty maybe soothe our pain? And
is beauty accepted in pain and is allowed, for instance? And we want to talk about that. Because also, as you know, Sarah, we were talking to the widow and she said it was very beautiful after our talk, after the funeral, we had a talk with her. And to have a feedback and so on. And she explained what was beautiful. Do you remember what she said? Except that so many men were crying.
You mean what she said about what she thought was beautiful about the funeral? Yeah.
Because I didn't really, as she said, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think she went into detail. I just felt like it was more like an overall assessment.
Right. And so for me, it was interesting because I don't understand what, as I can see for myself, or we can see for ourselves, because we made one funeral like that, one funeral like that. So we have like a possibility to make a difference between one and the other. But so many people didn't go to a funeral before. Like, I don't think she went to a funeral before.
Yeah, probably not.
So, but she said it was beautiful.
Yeah.
What do you think she was saying about, also what did she mean about beautiful in that day? Can you have an answer to that? I'm confused.
I don't know. I mean, for me, like generally with funerals and viewings and all the stuff that we do, beauty and aesthetics is always a thing that I take into consideration. It's always there and I always think about it because I think that
beauty is something visual.
Can have a very, no, not necessarily. Beauty can, I'm going to get there. Beauty can have a very significant role in like the workings of a ritual of like, especially like a rite of passage.
Like synchronicity.
Yeah, for example, like things that we perceive as beautiful, which could be a moment of synchronicity, definitely, definitely. So, and I think it's not only the visual component, there's also, of course, music, there's the entire situation, there's all the people that made an effort to look nice, in a way, at least, you know? I think this all works together in creating a special atmosphere that can have a lot of beauty. And then some of it is always left to chance. In my experience from funerals that I have attended and also funerals that we have set up, the answer to my initial question, like can beauty soothe our pain, I think is a definite yes, which is why to me it's always an important thing to think about and to try to get a feeling for what the people that we work for might think is beautiful, because I feel like it helps them. So to answer your question, I think it was a mix of all the details that we put in and that the florist put in. Like there were just the flower arrangements were stunning. And the way,
right,
and
I was the thinking way the we, same, yes.
And the way we decorated the chapel was, it just looked very serene. It was very calm. It was, but also very, like, the flowers were very colorful. It was not all muted. Mm. So it was kind of vibrant in a way, and then just the shared emotion of all the people, you know, I think that all just came together to create something.
I think I have
that
the
was
word.
Beautiful.
Sorry. It's a, I think beauty in a funeral is for me like an explosion of kindness. If I can describe beauty in a funeral, like it's kindness everywhere. Like you don't have it in the everyday life. Everyday life mean like being some fighting and problems and so on. And then in a funeral, you have as a what I...
You're not into in competition with anyone.
It's no competition, exactly. And it's like, it's really an explosion of kindness. It's peace.
Yeah.
Like serenity. I just thought that when you say serene. And when can we be so serene?
Yeah. And also really just take a breath and notice that and be in that moment.
Right. Like the famous Carpe Diem is a good funeral. It's maybe what the Buddhists always say, leave the moment, and then the beauty is in the funeral when people really accept this moment.
Yeah, and the, how it's a fleeting moment too, you know, but you can still dwell in it. That's also a thing where I think like a feeling for beauty that also has transformative powers can like maybe arise in you, because I was just thinking like seeing the same flower arrangements in a flower shop window, I might stop and be like, oh, look at that, that's pretty. But then I walk by and I forget them. But if you sit in a chapel with the urn of a person that you loved and you sit there for like 30 minutes and look at those flowers and they are really beautiful, that'll leave an imprint.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Like, and it calms you and it's an honorable way. It's an honorable moment too. Right?
Yeah. And it has a certain gravitas in a way, you know, like it's a heavy moment, but just the fact that it's aesthetically pleasing and beautiful is like a little gift to you in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember one of the first funerals I went to was my best friend back in the day, and it was in winter and it was snowy. And the pallbearers were wearing like the really classic long black cloaks and top hats.
Right.
And they,
so classic.
Yeah, and they actually carried the coffin. It was not on a gurney. They actually carried the coffin. It was lowered into the ground. And then when we came back after the grave had been closed, and there were also like a... almost 200 people at that funeral, and there was an insane amount of flowers. And so there was just this mountain of flowers in the snow, and it was all encrusted in ice.
Right.
It looked like it was candied, like a sugar crust, like all the flowers. And that moment, like stepping back to the cemetery, to his grave that had been closed, and seeing these sugar-coated flowers, that's a thing that I'll ever, forever, you know, remember. And that in that moment, this... just the serene beauty of this moment had such an effect on me.
Yeah, I think for...
And that was totally coincidence. There was just the weather conditions, you know?
Yeah, of course, because the moment is so important, because we don't want to die, and death is something so unique, but also not unique.
Yeah.
When it's happened to you, it's just like, suddenly something very new that you have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm, and no one taught you what to do in this case. So that make me thinking about my feeling of beauty during the funeral is when I feel, as you talk about the beauty of the flowers, the beauty of the decoration and the serenity of this picture, which is something very aesthetic and beautiful, but also the music. For me, as personal, as in my working, as I talk about when I work, of course, no, because I want every funeral being beautiful. For me, as a funeral director, when I feel beauty in a funeral, it's because I feel very near to the people somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, it's like, I believe that the last one was very beautiful because, first of all, we had time to spend together mm-hmm. with the person. And I could feel that the person felt, also the widow and the children of this man that died, they felt in good hand.
Yeah.
And then came the flower and the horn and the music and na na na. And for me was that where I feel this is a beautiful funeral. And then at the end, it's always what the other person say. I have this experience.
Yeah.
When you feel like you feel this person and you want to give her like a good day and this person understand what you want to give to her, mm-hmm. then it's kind of a good dance together between us and the grieving person, and the result is always something beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is...
I can connect to that.
Also, I can feel like sometimes, imagine we didn't have the beautiful flowers, it would have been also a very beautiful funeral because the woman was so in connection with us and yeah. the idea of processing every step of yeah, the funeral yeah. because the funeral is just the end of everything that we did before, right?
Yeah, you're right. I agree. But I think there were a lot of flowers that people brought, you know, and I remember, or for me, it's always also been a thing that was super important when I went to a funeral of someone that was close to me that had died. I was on a mission. I wanted everything to be
perfect,
to be very beautiful. No, I wasn't mm-hmm. wasn't even worried about my focus. my focus was always on I wanted to get the most beautiful flower arrangement I could get for whatever money I would have, you know, but I was always very specific about it, had my own ideas how things needed to be for everything to come together. And then I remember my cousin, when our grandma died at the funeral, that she came there and she told me that to her it was super important that day that she looked as pretty as she could mm-hmm. for grandma, you know. So I think it's a thing also that people can occupy their mind with, and that's a thing that they can accomplish, you know, and then they come to the funeral and they have added their little spark of beauty to it, to the entire image.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a healing thing because you added your beauty to the entire thing, you
know? Yeah, it's a homage, yeah? You do yeah. your best to...
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why people dress up. Yeah. For occasions, you know. I mean, of course, sometimes with funerals, it's kind of special too, because there's this convention that a lot of people still always wear black, and then sometimes they will only have one set of dark clothes right. or whatever. Mm. But most people, whether or not they decide to wear black, try to look nice. And I think that's also a sign of respect.
Now that for you the say person that, that has died, you know? Now that you say that, it's interesting because. Years ago, I was in this mood to think, no, fuck the convention. Yeah, you know, if someone dies, people can dress whatever they want.
Yeah.
And now, after this big funeral last Monday, I thought how nice it is when people dressed up.
Yeah, I agree.
How beautiful. And
there was this everything in bloom, spring, the sun was out a little bit, and there was this huge group of over 130 people
in
dressed
the green,
in black.
Yeah, in this green
cemetery. It looked so beautiful. It just looked very beautiful.
Yeah, and then it was the beauty was the calmness that we experienced. I think. As of first, I was kind of afraid because I said, okay, 180 people. They didn't even fit in the church.
No.
But no one was in the hurry. We were in the hurry because we had to get out half an hour later and to get
yeah,
out.
Because the next funeral director was already literally waiting there,
waiting
looking
in
at
front.
Us.
Yeah, and I was very angry at this other funeral group after us, because they were talking, chatting while we were walking past them, passing them on our way to the grave, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were like chatting, like, okay, next. And then I found myself in this thinking, I think the beauty is also to be respectful and traditional in some way. Dress up, take your hat off when grieving, how do you say, the train of grieving, no, the procession, procession,
yeah,
grieving,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Pass through, as it's like people forget about that, and this is, I think, not beautiful.
Yeah.
Beauty is also elegance.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
Elegance and is unique. I don't think elegant mean black shoe, black dress. Mean think about how important life is, and this person left, and you want to pay homage to his life, to the grieving woman.
Yes.
And there was a lot of embracement.
A lot of hugs, yeah.
Hugs.
Yeah.
So many hugs. As like this woman was, I just say...
Hugged out.
Hugged out, yeah. And this is what people doesn't do in real life.
Yeah.
In everyday life.
In everyday life, yeah.
You don't hug a person anymore, or like only... And we hug her.
Yeah.
I really hugged the widow because I thought, she need a hug from me too, and I want to hug her too, because it's beautiful to hug.
Yeah. Yeah, and with this like paying of respect and then dressing up for the occasion, I think that this all like still under the umbrella of like beauty that we're talking about. I think that beauty touches you in a universal way. Of course, it is always like, it's in the eye of the beholder, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And not everybody thinks the same things are beautiful. But I also think that there are, if we go away from like merely visual things.
Or like superficial
more to
things.
Like
yeah.
situations like you described and this entire thing. I think there is a universal thing that touches us that I would call beauty.
Yeah.
That we can evoke in these situations. And I think it can open people up, like men that then cry or whatever, you know? And
yeah.
I think that it helps rituals to have an effect of you on you, even if you don't believe in them or whatever.
As a ritual,
you know, like, for example,
help you to have an... Yeah.
Like, for example, there's enough people that go to church only on Christmas.
Right.
You know? And of course, there's those that just go with their family and it doesn't mean anything. But then there's also those that maybe say they don't believe in God or they don't know and they don't have anything to do with the church.
But
the Christmas ritual is so beautiful.
Right.
You know? And so I think that the significance of beauty on different levels to rituals is really high, because I think it can make a ritual touch you even if you are kind of distanced from it. And it still does something to you through this aesthetic component, through the beauty. It kind of seeps into you, and it helps the ritual to change you in a way, in like a small way, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
I was thinking, I know exactly what you mean. But so that's mean that beauty mean also sharing a feeling. So like you can have a ritual alone, right? You can sit at home and meditate.
Yeah.
So I don't imagine that. So I don't know. Like we talk about the funeral and I agree. But in a funeral special, it's because you share. Let's say when I was the grieving person, as when I was touched by the death of, so I was not invited to a funeral, but I was the person that attended the funeral. My father, my ex-husband, and I was sitting there, and I see the flowers, but I didn't see the flowers. Of course, I see the people singing a song, but I didn't see it. As I was like crying, but what I saw and what comforted me and what made me saying it was beautiful was the weather. kind of. Also I remember, as you say, also not because the weather was beautiful, but because it was natural. Also it was like my senses were very open.
Uh-huh.
And then like one sunstrahl.
Sunbeam.
Yeah. When sunbeam was like coming in the church, and then I was like completely watching that. And then then the magnolia tree mm-hmm. was blossoming.
Yeah.
But at the end was really the people that were there. Like the amount of people that share with me the pain of the person that now doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And that's just for me the beauty of a funeral. What makes a funeral beautiful? The flowers also. But yeah,
for me it's more, but maybe that's also because I'm a cultural anthropologist, so I always think about like things and what effect things have on us and
So
I'm also thinking about things like, you know, back when I was a teenager and I was kind of into witchy stuff, you know, and it would be a full moon.
Okay.
And I...
Don't tell me these stories. Now what?
I was 17 or something, yeah. You know, and I was exploring religion. I was kind of disappointed by Christianity, and I still was feeling like there could be something else out there. So I was kind of seeking out like paganism and like nature religion stuff. So I had like a glass bowl for water that was like crystal glass. And then I would just put water in there and put it in the windowsill so the moonlight could shine, whatever. Like, I don't even remember the details, but I remember that my everyday life for like a year or two back then was full of rituals of like thanking Mother Earth for my food and whatever, you know? And a lot of it was always just tiny things that were just like really pretty and just, you know,
the details the ritual. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the details of the ritual. And I think that that's, to me, that is a super important part of what we do. And why I also think that, like with that last funeral, we did a good job because we made some special, we handmade special things, you know. And I think that this attention to detail and to like
of
beautiful
course,
little things, like touches people and has transformative potential in that moment.
Yeah, make people.
I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know what.
No. I know what I'm. As I understand, it's a togetherness. But
I agree. Like, had we done all of that, and there would have been two people that showed up, it would have been super sad.
Yeah, or it's as what I trying to say before. But so that's the funeral is the end of what we did before. As it's like before the funeral come was like these 3 weeks. Kind of that mm-hmm. we spend with the family to talk about every possibility,
yeah,
and to give them like ideas and so on. So the beauty was all this process that we made with them, and at the end, the amount of people that were there, they could see that and grieve together with her. And I think this is a like maybe a composition of everything.
Yes.
So, and I think a funeral with no one. Is sad and it's not beautiful. Like we buried once a person, and it was only us and the how do you say the carrier of the coffin?
The pallbearer.
Pallbearer. It sounds like polar bear.
I know.
Yeah, as on the polar bear, and it was sad because you think, okay, this woman had children, had. Okay, she was very old, and then at the end, she didn't maybe have anyone that was alive. I don't know, but there was no one there, and it was snowing, it was cold, and we did a prayer because she was Catholic, and we did for her the Fata Unza, and then we carried her, and we put the bell. The ringing as
the church bell.
The church bell. But it was cold, we were alone, and she was buried like
a
piece of meat away. And it was beautiful because we were there and we did all this.
Yeah. And I think also in these situations, it gives me a little bit of peace of, not peace of mind, more like peace of soul, I think, to then perform little gestures that add the little spark to it, you know?
Be it
putting a flower on the
coffee,
just the tiny things that actually
give
our
this,
little pretty things, you know. If we talk about beauty in a sense where it's just like pretty, it looks nice, it's pretty, and I think that kind of completes the ritual. I think a ritual needs something like that. I think just having a funeral like without any, unless it's really the wish of the person, you know, but
true,
but having like a funeral that has just like the urn or the coffin without any adornment and nothing happens, nothing is said, and it's just very like matter of fact,
clean.
To me, something is missing, because especially rites of passage like baptism, birth rites, or funerals, weddings, whatever, need this element, this visual element that ties it together, that has some sort of maybe transcendent meaning, you know, like flowers and funerals.
Make
you aware of how fleeting the moment is, because those flowers are also going to die. It's like a memento mori going on. To me, that a ritual needs something like that to be complete.
Yeah, I can't imagine a funeral with no flowers.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes people say no flowers, just a spende for, I don't know, the dog saving Tierheim stuff.
Yeah, but most of the time there's like two or three people that come that bring a couple flowers anyway.
Yeah, right? That's true, but
And then there's these small gestures. I want to like tell one more story from a funeral that I attended.
Yeah.
That had a very surprising moment of beauty for me. It was my grandfather's funeral. He had been cremated and he was buried with my grandma, and the family had, or my aunts had organized everything, and they had decided that they didn't want a big crowd of people, so it was just closest family. But my grandfather had been super active in like a gym in his last years, and the gym group was aware that the funeral was happening, but they had not been invited. They still showed up, and they had all brought heart-shaped balloons, and we're now all the ecologically conscious people, which I am too. Now, please just don't think about it for now. Just imagine the moment. You know, it was very sad, but it was also very small and over very
touchy,
quickly. There was no eulogist. There was nothing. It was just the very basic thing. And the urn had been lowered. And then they all showed up and they stood at the side. It was like a group of eight people. And they all had these helium-filled heart-shaped balloons and white flower petals. And they let the balloons fly and then just like threw the flower petals.
Right.
And it was very tacky and plasticky. And of course, it's like an ecological nightmare. But
funeral also can be tacky. This is the difference to everything else.
Right. But it also had, especially for the grandkids at that moment, had such a soothing quality to see those balloons.
Yeah. I was thinking, but I lost my thought. Why? Because I was so touched about the balloons. By the way, you are not allowed to let balloons flying in every cemetery.
Yeah. I think because you should not be allowed to let balloons fly, period, because it's just rubber laying around in nature after. I think it's,
We don't want to forget, but it was a different thing about the laterne with the candle that burned all the apes in the zoo because they land in the...
Before they outlawed those, that was actually when my grandma had died. My cousins were so young that my aunt back then decided that they should not attend the funeral, which is a whole other topic. But then I tried back then to create a ritual with all the grandkids of my grandma. We wanted to meet at the beach. And then especially my young cousins who weren't at the funeral, they had written little letters to grandma, and we had these lanterns with the candles in them and wanted to let them fly. So they would have like a farewell ritual for grandma, because I knew from my experience that even if as a kid, you have the need for ritual. And if someone dies,
right,
and if you don't get that, then that'll just leave.
Like, I mean, as a kid, you always need ritual.
Yeah.
Like it's
even more. It's, yeah. Even more. Yeah. So we tried to do that, but it was the Baltic coast in March.
No. But there are fishes
very,
there.
It was very windy. So we couldn't get the lanterns to fly at all anyway. So we gave up after 15 minutes.
Thanks God. So some fishes didn't die at this day I don't know, some rubbish.
But those lanterns are so pretty. I think it's such a shame that they're so dangerous.
I know, but I think, yeah, you can have birds. Like we offer also...
Doves. White doves, right?
Yeah, white... is it dove? The pigeon? White pigeon. The white pigeon.
Yeah, no, I think those are doves. I think pigeons are the flying rats and doves are the nice ones, right?
No, dove... okay, the definition, so. But they are white birds. Yeah. And they can fly and they find their way back to the owner.
No.
So we offer that instead the balloon, which I think is very nice, like a piece dove. No, pigeon flying in the sky.
You peace can, pigeon.
Peace, is it peace pigeon? Piccione della pace.
Sure,
sorry, but some the white pigeon is the peace pigeon, no? The one that bring peace.
Yeah,
the olive something in his.
I think they are called doves, but I'm not entirely sure. So
okay, this kind of birds, so they save the world from balloons and lanterne and whatever is dangerous. They fly back to the owner.
Yeah,
and so this but now like to come to cook it up, beauty. Let's drop some words. Beauty is. At a beautiful funeral, we say it's a ensemble of many details, many tears, right?
Yeah.
Time.
Yes.
The slowness, the feeling of slowness, and I can't imagine a funeral without candles. Sorry, but this is for me like impossible to imagine.
Yeah, candles, flowers.
Candle, flowers.
And I mean, basically pretty much what the family or the people that we work for want. Like it can be anything that they think is beautiful. There, of course, are conventions, but those are not written in stone, at least not anymore. So
no,
we're also open to anything. Like if you want to decorate the chapel with whatever, you know, we're going to...
Yeah, we have also video installation that...
Yeah,
can be projected on the wall of the so, but this is like old ideas. But at the end, beauty is elegance, funeral, an elegant funeral where people understand why they are there, what they're doing. The explosion of kindness, like you leave all your problem outside and you are in this moment to share the pain with someone and your own, to let your own pain fly. Yeah. And
I think
to feel supported too.
Yeah. Ideally, a beautiful funeral leaves an impact on your emotional landscape, but also like visually or aesthetically.
Of course.
You know, so you remember the beautiful feeling of being in a community in this moment. And kind of being held by that and letting emotions flow. But then also, ideally, maybe you remember some little things, maybe just like a ray of sunshine that comes in the chapel and just, you know.
Yeah, what make me happy now that we are talking, although we did all these cards, no? We had this idea of doing like cards.
Little cards with little, a picture of the disease.
With a picture of the disease and with the date. What normally people, what you do... But we decide to do it in a small, like, business card. And this big, like, not something that you put on your table and then it's gone, but to put it in your wallet and have it every day with you. And how many cards we did? 200. And at the end, the idea was that the daughters understand to put this card in, also that they love this. At the end, this if this remain, I think we did a good job.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Besides the flowers, besides everything, besides our kindness and our process to work with them and be there every time they needed us and giving suggestion about the flowers and where to buy them and so on, we understood their taste and they were happy with that.
Yeah.
And but at the end, the beauty of having these two daughters with this little business card with the father in their wallet and being happy to have that and yes. have a remain as a memory in their everyday lives. I think this is make me feeling we did a good job and it was beautiful.
Agreed.
Who knows what next one will be like. Yeah. But so.
All right.
I wish some people could also just send us a question or how do you say, like ideas, what you think.
For about beautiful funerals.
Yeah.
Yes, we are very curious, actually. Please message us and tell us about beautiful funerals that you've been to, maybe. What were the details that made them beautiful?
Because it helps us, too, no? Like, yeah. We always want to have some feedback, too.
Yeah, like, do you have an idea, like, what do you imagine your own funeral to look like? Like, is that something that you think about? And, yeah, what are good examples where you thought
and remember,
this was beautiful?
Sorry, Sarah, but remember, really, people, like, the only moment where tackiness doesn't look bad and touch hearts is a funeral.
Yeah.
This is my epiphany in all my years of working. Really, be tacky, don't worry, it touch.
Yes. All right, so yeah, let us know. You can write us at an email, write to hello@keithfem.com, put worst case scenario in the subject line, or go to Instagram, find us at Hearst Case Scenario Podcast. You can message us there too. And again, we want to take a moment in this 10th episode, in the final episode of this first season of our podcast, to thank all of our listeners for the constant support and to thank everybody who has messaged us and given us questions to work through. Please keep writing to us. It's super interesting and fun. We also want to thank our little beloved little radio station, Keith FM, of course, for letting us use the studio and airing all our episodes and supporting us. We want to thank Frankie for taking cool-ass pictures of us.
Oh, yeah, check it out on the... the beautiful picture of us in front of our beautiful car.
Yeah, it's on Instagram, it's on the Spotify, it's even on the Keith FM homepage. And check out the shows. Also, I want to take this moment to thank the guests that we had this first season. So there was Carmen Thomas. Vielen Dank, liebe Carmen.
Vielen Dank, Carmen.
For that very interesting conversation. And thank you so much, Julia, for doing the voiceover, the English voiceover for that episode. Thank you, Sophia Campbell-Shaw from Dorset, who's a wicker coffin weaver. Check out the episode Keep the Grief Moving to hear our conversation with her about how weaving a coffin for your loved one can help with grief, and about natural burial grounds and all sorts of interesting things. And then also Sophie Schöntod of Thanatopraxie Schöntod, the embalmer that we talked to and that we're probably very likely going to talk to again for the next season with further questions, because that conversation,
I think we want to
did raise more questions.
No, we want, as we, I think we want to assist one embalming and ask question lively.
Yeah, we might also do that. Yes. And yeah, thank you also to Trix, who came to the studio with Sophie and who we're going to do a live show with over the summer at some point. probably, we had to cancel the last date due to personal reasons, but this is going to happen. So keep your eyes peeled again. Follow us on Instagram to know what's going on and when we're going live. And hold out until August 2nd.
Oh, yes.
That's when we're going to be back with the next season. And until then, click and like and share everything that we do.
Oh, God.
Listen back to all your favorite episodes and have a great summer.
Yeah. And if you need some help, if someone dies, call us.
Yeah.
We are also funeral director, not just talk about.
Yeah. Right? So we actually don't also forget. Do funerals. So.
Yes.
So if you actually have a hearse case scenario, you can call us.
Magnolia Bestattungen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.